Yes. Father and of the Son who has made us, the Son who has redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit who has sanctified us.
In the name of the Triune God, be together for worship.
We are here, O God, for many reasons, but all of us seek your forgiveness and mercy.
Forgive us wherever we have done wrong. O Lord, give unto us the forgiving joy of your salvation, so that we may share your love with others as you have shared with us.
Let us join as we confess our sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and have justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with hymn 365. Please be seated.
Thank you.
evening's Old Testament reading, Jeremiah chapter 33. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, and neither the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings, and to kindle meat offerings, and to do sacrifices continually. So far the Old Testament lesson. Is my mic on? Can you hear me?
Okay.
This evening's epistle, Romans chapter 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh, and fulfill the lusts thereof. So far, the epistle lesson. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. For as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having the perfect understanding of all things from the very first, I write unto you in order, O excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain prince named Zacharias of the course of Abias, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, while he was executing the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the prince's priest's office, his lot was to burn incense, and he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and to be disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is stricken in years. The angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you, and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb, not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words. which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself for 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, and took away my reproach from among men. So far, the Holy Gospel. We now confess our faith according to the article of the Apostles' Creed, the first article. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And what does this mean? I believe that God has created me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses is still preserved. Also, clothing and shoes, the meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods, and that he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life, that he defends me against all danger, and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any virtue or worthiness in me. For all which it is my duty to thank him and praise, to serve and obey him, this is most certainly true. We continue with our sermon hymn, hymn 70. Please be seated. Saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. So far, please be seated. As we know, the days leading up to Christmas are filled with a lot of good music, good news, and good food. Mailboxes are stuffed with cards and letters that express warm and friendly greetings. And there are invitations to open houses, parties, and church programs. Long-distance phone calls put us in touch with loved ones and friends who live far away. Television reports, full stories about various organizations extending helping hands to those of the poor, the needy, and those who have suffered some tragic loss. As a matter of fact, there is so much good news at this time of the year that it may be hard to see the difference between good news and ordinary news and the truth. This good news has to do with much more than parties, cards, phone calls, and family reunions. This good news is about God, and it's about His Son, Jesus Christ. But there are always some who are surprised to learn that God is concerned about bringing good news to the world, especially to individuals. For some reason, when they think about God, they think about bad news. They think of Him as a Scrooge who is determined to rob life of every joy and pleasure. They imagine God to be an angry Puritan preacher, always pointing a condemning finger at people. But this characterization of God is not true. Although God will judge and condemn when He must, Psalm 86 declares, "But Thou, O Lord, art a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Well, this God of love and faithfulness knows all about good news. Why? Because He is its original author. The first and the best news belongs to Him. The gospel of God, that is the good news that He authors, is designed for people whose lives are under the bad news of sin. Sin is bad news. Throughout the book of Romans, Paul talks about the kind of bad news that sin brings to people like us. And that's why St. Paul speaks of the gospel, that is the good news, as something that God has promised beforehand regarding His Son. That's where the good news comes into place. The gospel of God, that is the good news, that He authors, is designed for people who live under the bad news of sin. Sin is bad news. Throughout the book of Romans, Paul talks about the kind of bad news that sin brings to people like us. You see, sin is why people will perish, and sin is why people will be judged by God. And the real bad news is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And more bad news is that sin leads to death, because the wages of sin is death. Yes, sin means bad news for each and every one of us. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it, because none of us can transform our sinful lives the way that city streets are transformed at Christmas time. All it takes to change a dull, drab city street is for the addition of a few lights, ornaments, and maybe a couple of Christmas trees. But even our best efforts fail miserably as we try to do something about the bad news of sin. As the prophet Isaiah declares, all of our righteousness, all of our acts are like filthy rags before God. And it is in this face of all this bad news that the good news of God breaks forth into our lives. Long, long ago, God knew that we could do nothing about our sins, we could do nothing to help ourselves. Long ago, God was determined to bring good news to sinners like us gathered here this evening. It was the message of the Old Testament prophets. God announced long before the first Christmas that he was sending his only son to bring good news to sinners, sinners like us. The prophet Isaiah tells us, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Matthew tells us that this child, this Jesus, will save people from their sins. This is God's good news this evening. It doesn't come out of the Hollywood background. It's not like a fancy dreaming of a great storyteller. It's not like the legend or the myth of Santa Claus. Jesus Christ is good news from God to us. Good news prophesied in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. You see, the good news of Christmas is all about the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. Christmas celebrates his birth, but it's not easy a task to keep our eyes fastened and our hearts focused on him during this busy, busy, crazy season. There's so much competition for our attention. There's all the rushing around buying gifts before the last store closes on Christmas Eve. There are presents to wrap, trips to plan, houses to clean and decorate. There are elaborate dinners to prepare. Those last few Christmas cards that must get in the mail. And before we know it, the child whose birth we are to celebrate lies hidden under all the busyness of the season. And that's not where he belongs. God's Son, Jesus Christ, belongs in the middle of our celebration. So if the rush of the Christmas season leaves us no time to contemplate the Christ child, then we'd better slow down. We'd better re-examine what we're doing and why we're doing it. Now, more than ever, we need our worship. We need our family. We need our personal devotions to help us keep our eyes and our hearts fixed to the one whose birth we are about to celebrate in a few days. You know, at first glance, this child looks no different from any other child. As to its human nature, he was the descendant of King David. But this human child was also divine, also God in human flesh. The undeniable proof is his resurrection from the dead. In the normal course of a life, a child is born, they grow up, they die, and they're buried. This Christ child also grew up and died. And he too was buried, but he didn't stay buried because he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. He conquered death with a resurrection victory. Why? Because he was more than just a human being. He was divine. He was God in human flesh. The good news is that this resurrection triumph, this birth, his life and death, was all on our behalf. And this is how the Christ child lived up to his name, Jesus. Jesus means Savior. He didn't come to show us how we could camouflage our sinful lives by adding a little more tinsel here and a little more trimming there. This child was born so that he would destroy the bad news of sin. We don't have to worry about the bad news of sin and guilt anymore. We don't have to worry about the bad news of death because in Jesus Christ there is the good news of forgiveness of sins and the guarantee of eternal life. Christmas brings us this good news. We as Christians, well, we can greet one another if you wish by saying happy holidays, which I never did understand what they really meant. But we Christians can also greet one another with a blessing that goes far beyond Merry Christmas. We as Christians can say with St. Paul to each other, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is my wish for this holy season for each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding be with us here now and extend itself into the joys of eternal life. Heaven. Amen. And please be seated. Please remain standing while we institute the sacrament. Jesus Christ, the same night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave him thanks, he broke and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he supped, and when he gave him thanks, he gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Thank you. complete. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and dead for the remission of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take a drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you on the remission of your sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood.
Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.
Amen.